Rayanam namaskritya naram cheva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam udirayat. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 18, Chapter entitled Description of Varnashram Dharma, Text Number 10. Yas tve tat krichcha tratash triyanam. Tapo nishreyasam mahat. Kamayalpi yase yunja. Alishaha ko parastataha. Yaha. One who. Two. Indeed. Etat. This. Krichchrataha. With great penance. Chiranam. For a long time. Tapaha. Austerity. Nishreyasam. Awarding ultimate liberation. Mahat. Glorious. Kamaya. For sense gratification. Alpiyase. Insignificant. Yunjat. Practices. Balishaha. Such a fool. Kaha. Who? Aparaha. Else. Tataha. Besides him. Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. One who with long endeavor executes this painful but exalted penance which awards ultimate liberation, simply to achieve insignificant sense gratification, must be considered the greatest fool. Translation responsibly. One who with long endeavor executes his painful but exalted penance, which awards ultimate liberation, simply to achieve insignificant sense gratification, must be considered the greatest fool. Purport. Although the process of Vanaprastha described by Lord Krishna is so glorious that even the consolation prize is promotion to Mahaloka, one who consciously performs this process for such promotion to heaven is certainly the greatest fool. The Lord does not want this process to be abused or exploited by materialistic rascals, for the ultimate goal is love of Godhead. Om Gyanti Manandasya Kinunjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Nalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Vedantikam Panchakalpata Rubyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Titanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare Hare. So it is stated near the end of the Bhagavatam that in Srimad Bhagavatam, Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. That Srimad Bhagavatam is the Amala Purana. Amala means pure. Pure. Something which is unadulterated, unalloyed. So Srimad Bhagavatam is pure scripture. Amala Purana. The Vedas are divided into the Shruti Shastra and the Smriti Shastra. What does the Shruti Shastra refer to? Yeah. It means the original Vedic literatures which emanate from the breathing of the Lord Himself. This is called Shruti. This includes the Upanishads, the original four Vedas, original Vedic literatures, which have come at the beginning of the creation and have come from the breathing of the Lord Himself. This is called Shruti. Then there is Smriti. Now, what does the Smriti refer to? Yeah, Smriti. Smriti means remembrance. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Jnanam Smritiya Apohanam Cha. Smriti means that which is remembered by great sages, like Narada and other great sages. So they speak these literatures, which are in pursuance of the Vedic version. The original Vedas, the Shruti, Shastras, then the Smriti is those histories or narratives which are spoken by the great sages, which describe the history of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or His great devotees, and then they explain through those histories or those narratives or those pastimes, they describe the philosophy which is in the original Vedas, the Shruti. So we have the Shruti, we have the Smriti. So the Bhagavatam is part of the Smriti. Srimad Bhagavatam is part of the those pastimes which are remembered and told by the great sages. Sri Shuka Uvacha. It is spoken by Shukadeva Goswami, one of the great sages, the greatest of all the sages, like that. So Shukadeva Goswami, he speaks the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is a Purana, Amala Purana. Purana means. Sometimes it means something which is very old. This is Purana, something very ancient. So the Purana is something which is a very ancient history, like that. So these ancient histories describe the pastimes of the Lord and His exalted devotees. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is different amongst all of the Puranas, Puranic literatures. There is 18 major Puranas and 18 minor Puranas. Now, amongst the 18 major Puranas, 6 are said to be in the mode of sattva, or goodness, such as the Vishnu Purana, the Padma Purana. These are examples of Puranas which are in the mode of goodness. And then there is those in the mode of passion, rajas, such as the Brahma Vaivata Purana. And then there are those which are in the mode of tamas, or the mode of ignorance, like that. So these different Puranas are meant to address different classes of people. Those who have different states of consciousness. Some people are more in the mode of sattva, more in the mode of goodness. Some are more in the mode of passion. Some are more in the mode of ignorance. So then they will read the particular Puranas and they will get direction from that particular Purana. But those Puranas are influenced by the modes of material nature. Therefore, in some Puranas, it is stated that Lord Shiva is supreme. These statements are there. Sometimes people say, oh, Shiva is supreme. These statements are there in certain Puranas. Right? In certain Shastras, those who may be in the mode of darkness, in the mode of ignorance, it describes that Lord Shiva is supreme. So they have statements which say this. In other Puranas, in other places in the Vedas, It says that Krishna and Balaram are black and a white hair on the body of Mahavishnu. And then they incarnate as Krishna and Balaram. So it describes that Mahavishnu, or Lord Narayan, is the source of Krishna and Balaram. There are certain Puranas that describe that Narayan is supreme. Now, the Lord Narayan is supreme. And therefore, all the other incarnations come from Lord Narayan, including Krishna, including Balaram, like this. So these different statements are given in the different Puranic literatures. However, Jiva Goswami, our acharyas, have demonstrated. Jiva Goswami wrote six sandarbhas. He wrote six philosophical treatises, philosophical scriptures, which elaborate the philosophy of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose appearance day was yesterday, Gaurapurnima, he himself is only known to have written eight verses, which we call Shikshastika. Now, the Srimad Bhagavatam has 18,000 verses. Hands up if you have read the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Very good. But it's not most of the devotees here. Not most of the devotees have read the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Why is this? Because in Kali Yuga, people find it difficult to. That's why Vyasadeva condensed the Vedas. Imagine if you had to read all the Vedas. Then you'd really be in trouble. So therefore, Vyasadeva condensed, brought everything down to Vedanta Sutra and the Brahma Sutra. The Vedanta Sutra has around 500 aphorisms or verses in it. It's very small. So he brought it all the way down. Then, feeling dissatisfied, Narada instructed Vyas, then write the Bhagavatam. So the Bhagavatam was written. This is 18,000 verses. This is a Kali Yuga Shastra. 18,000 verses. And even still, most people are finding that difficult. So, okay. So then Krishna brings it down again. 700 verses. This is called Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Hands up if you read the whole entire Bhagavad Gita. Okay. A few more. That's good. More than the Bhagavatam. So the Gita is come down, right, even more, right? But then Lord Chaitanya, who is the Kali Yuga avatar, he is the Yuga avatar, then he understands that everyone is so fallen. 18,000 verses is difficult for them. 700 verses is difficult for them. Let me give them 8 verses. This is called Shikshastika. Hands up if you've read the whole Shikshastika. Good. 8 verses. So in these 8 verses, you have the entire Vedic philosophy. Everything in the Vedas is contained within those 8 verses. Because what are the 3 principal subject matters of the Vedas? Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana Tattva. Right? Sambandha means relationship. Sambandha, relationship between who and what? Relationship between Prabhupada said there are 5 main subject matters in the Bhagavad Gita. What are the 5 main subject matters in the Gita? Ishvara. Ishvara means God. Ishvara. God. Right. Secondly, Jiva. Jiva means us. Anu. Right? Vipu. Vipu means Anu means how big? Get one of your hairs. Get one of your hairs. Pull it out, right? Cut it into 100 pieces. Get one of those pieces and cut that into 100 pieces. And that little piece, 100th of a 100th, is a 10,000. That's how big you are. You are But you're so puffed up, you think you're 2/10,000 the size of today. You walk around like, I am so big. I am Maharaj. I am the great king. Maharaj. No, you're Anu. You're just tiny little spark. Right? You think you're the fire. You're a spark. Just like sometimes some people leave ISKCON. They leave the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya. So they're on the boat. The boat is going across the ocean. Right? And then someone jumps off the boat and thinks, I will enter back into the material world, back into the material ocean. So Prabhupada says you jump off and you think you're going to make a big splash. Right? And then you go, bloop. You know, when someone leaves, right, and then we say they blooped. This came from Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, you jump off the boat, land in the big ocean, think you're going to make a big splash. I'm back. Maya, I'm back. I'm here to enjoy. And then you just go bloop. You're just a very tiny little insignificant servant of Krishna. So, the Gita describes Ishvara, Jiva, then Prakriti. Prakriti means, Krishna describes in the 13th chapter of the Gita, he says there is para prakriti and apara prakriti. Para prakriti means the spiritual energy. Apara prakriti means the material energy. This is God's creation. God's creation includes the spiritual energy and the material energy. Everything. That is God's creation. That is prakriti. Prakriti means energy. So Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala. Kala means time. What is time? Time is an unseen force which we are all influenced by, controlled by, and we are being directed by right now. We're in time. You can't see it, but it's moving us. This is time. This is Shakti. Kala Shakti. Right? Now this time element, you can't do anything about it. You're just under its control. It's just moving you forward. Right? You can't go back. You can't say, okay, stop. Go back. No, you can't. It's Kala Shakti. It's very powerful. Right? This is one of Krishna's energies. And as the Prabhupada says, five subject matters. Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala and karma. Karma means activity. What do you do with your time? That is karma. Karma means what you are doing with your time. You are the jiva, right? You're in the prakriti, under the influence of time, right? And what do you do with your time? Do you choose to remember Ishvara, or do you choose to forget Ishvara? Right? This is your situation, right? So this is the five subject matters of the Bhagavad Gita. Now, this comes under the classification of Sambandha. Sambandha means relationship. Right? So the Vedas describe Sambandha Gyan. This means relationship. You are the Jiva. What is your relationship with God? What is your relationship with God's Prakriti, His energies, spiritual energy, material energy? What is your relationship with time? What sort of karma will you perform? Right? This is all Sambandha. Right? So then, next category in the Vedas is Abhideya. Abhideya means the process. Now you are a jiva who is in the material energy. Hands up if you want to get into the spiritual energy. Hands up if you want to go to the spiritual world. Hands up if you just want to have some pakoras for breakfast. We have one honest man. Like that. So it's up to you. Right? Everything is based upon desire. Right? When your desire is strong, then you can go to the spiritual world. But if your desire is not strong, then you can stay in the material world. That is up to you. It is all to do with desire. Those who have strong desire, they go to the spiritual world to be with Krishna. Those who have small desire, you stay here in the material world to enjoy. Because there's so much enjoyment in the material world. Isn't it fantastic? Isn't it wonderful? So therefore, if you want to go back to the spiritual world, then you must develop desire, strong desire to go back to the spiritual world. So if you desire to go back to the spiritual world, if you've made that decision, now I want to go back to the spiritual world to associate with and serve Krishna, then that is the Abhideya. Abhideya means the process. Now what is the process? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes in his teachings to Sanatana Goswami, he says, Krishna is Sambandha. And when you're dealing with Sambandha, or relationship, Lord Chaitanya says, Krishna Sambandha. How does everything relate? Sambandha means relationship. How does everything relate to Krishna? Right? Ishvara, Krishna is Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala, Karma. How does that all relate to Krishna? That is called Sambandha Gyan, Krishna Sambandha. And then Lord Chaitanya says, Bhakti Abhideya. Bhakti Abhideya. Because what is the process? If your desire has become strong to go back to the spiritual world, that Abhideya, that process, then what is the process? Right? If you want to go back to the spiritual world, that is your desire, that is your decision, you want to go back, then what is the process? The process is bhakti. Bhakti Abhideya. Now, how does that bhakti, how do we do bhakti? Someone says, okay, you have to do devotion to Krishna. Now, how do I do it? What is the process? Right? Abhideya means process. What is the process? Bhakti Abhideya. The process is bhakti. What does bhakti mean? What is the process? Right? So then Rupa Goswami says, you need, there are 64 items. Rupa Goswami has taken all of those items from the Vedas. And he says, these are the 64 essential items which you need to practice. You need to practice these 64 items of bhakti if you want to reconnect with Krishna. So of the 64, he says, the first 20 are the most important. And then he says, of the first 20, the first 3 are the most important. So what are the first 3? Adol. Adol means, just like we have the Adi Leela. Chaitanya Charitamrita, you have Madhya Leela, Ancha Leela, Adi Leela. Adi means the beginning. Right, the beginning. Madhya means the middle. Ancha means the final, the end. Right? So then, Adi, Adol. Adol means in the beginning. Right? Spiritual life begins with Adol, a guru, pad, ashraya. Right? Rupa Goswami says this is the beginning of spiritual life. Right? Guru, pad, ashraya. You must take shelter at the lotus feet of a bona fide guru in disciplic succession from Krishna. This is how spiritual life begins. This is the first item of bhakti. You know? This is where bhakti begins. Right? You must take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. Because if you don't take shelter of the guru, how will you learn the other, how to practice the other items of devotional service? Right? How will you learn how to practice? There are 64 items of bhakti. How will you learn how to practice? Right? You need to learn this from a guru. Right? You need guru to teach you. This is how to serve Krishna. Otherwise, how will you know how to serve Krishna? It is not just the items, it is not just the knowledge of the activity, but it is the mood in doing the service which is important. Just like you can learn how to do the aati. Right? Just like you do aati. Right? There is a process when you do the aati. Right? First you do archana. Right? Om Keshavaya Namaha. Om Narayana Namaha. Om Matavariya Namaha. Om Govindariya Namaha. Om Vishnavino. Like, we do a full purification, right? Abhuti Shuddha. This means, first you must purify yourself. Right? So you need to learn this from Guru, how to purify yourself. Right? Before you begin worship, you must be clean. Prabhupada said when you worship the deity, two things are most important. One is cleanliness, the other is punctuality. Right? This is the process. Right? You need to learn this from Guru. What does it mean to be clean? What does it mean to be punctual? Right? So then you learn how to do the arti. First item that you offer, right? You purify the article, right? Then you offer the agarbatti, the incense, right? You offer, right? So you offer to Krishna. How many circles you must do like this? All these things you need to learn. Ring the bell while you're doing it. There are different things you need to learn. Then you offer the lamp. Then you offer the water. Then you offer the handkerchief. Then you offer the flowers. And then you offer the chamra. And then if it's hot, you offer the fan. Right? So you learn, this is the process of how to please Krishna. Krishna likes to be offered these articles. But it's not just the practical offering or the knowledge of how to offer these things to Krishna, but it is the mood when offering these things to Krishna. This must be learned from Guru. Therefore we need to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master to learn the mood. What is the mood? What is the guru meditating on while he is offering these things to Krishna? Just like, why do we offer the incense to the deities? Smells nice. Smells nice for who? Krishna, yeah. Because you meditate that when you're offering these articles, you offer these articles to an exalted guest. If someone comes to your home, in Vedic culture, you offer these articles to them. So we're imagining Krishna is come. Or we have come to Krishna. We've come into his home, at the temple. So now we have to serve Krishna. What is the first thing? The pujari is offering. Right? Agarbatti, nice fragrance. So automatically when you walk into a place and it smells very nice, then automatically your mind becomes pleased. So you offer nice fragrance to Krishna, and Krishna becomes satisfied. Wonderful fragrance. Made of natural products, natural hand-rolled products made by my devotees. In the olden days, devotees used to make the incense themselves. You would go and pick the flowers. Right? You would extract the oils from the flowers. Right? And then you would get all the ingredients and then you would hand roll the incense. Right? This is bhakti. So now we just go and buy it. Right? We go to India and we buy some incense. Right? But you have to see, is the incense you're buying, is it natural? Does it come from natural products? A lot of the incense these days is just chemical. Right? Chemicals are not very pleasant. Why are we offering Krishna chemicals? Some of them don't even smell very nice. So you're offering Krishna just some chemical thing. No, you have to think this is bhakti. Bhakti means we have to offer Krishna the finest ingredients. Right? Then we offer Krishna the lamp. And why do we offer the lamp?
It makes light.
Yeah, it makes light. Right? Heat and light. In the old days, we didn't have electricity. Right now we just come, we walk in the pujari room and just go like that, light, like that. But that light might not last. How long will this light last? Right? As long as there is a generator down in Gippsland, 300 kilometres away, then we have light. But what if something happens down there? Right? And then we don't have light anymore, then what will we offer to the deities? In the olden days, when someone came to your home, or when you were in your home, then you would light the house with lamps. Right? You would offer the lamp. The lamp, as we're circumambulating Krishna, then we're meant to be meditating. We are lighting the room for Krishna. Right? So that he can see. Right? Because it's nice to see the person that you are living with in your home. So therefore we light everything. And if it's cold, then we may have to also light a fire, you know, to make everything nice and warm, like that. So therefore, this is our meditation. Right? Then we're offering the water. And what do we offer the water for? To bathe. Yeah. To refresh. And just like when someone walks for a long distance and they come to your home, then what do? You bathe their feet. In the ancient days in the Vedic culture, a sadhu comes to your home, then what do? Right? You bathe the sadhu's feet. Right? Because he's walked all day. And his feet may need to be refreshed. So therefore you bathe his feet. Massage his feet. Like that. So this is the process. Then we offer the water. The guest has come. Would you like to refresh yourself? Would you like to bathe yourself? Take bath. Right? And then we offer the handkerchief. What is the handkerchief for? Right. After the person has taken bath and they dry themselves, then we offer them fresh cloth. This is Vedic culture. Right. Actually, the pujaris the handkerchiefs are supposed to be made of white silk. This is stated by Sanatana Goswami, right, in Hari Bhakti Vilas. Then the cloth should be made of white silk. Because you're offering someone, someone's come to your home, please come to my home, nice fragrance is there, everything is nicely lit, right? Here, if you like to take bath, take your bath, right? You're refreshed now. Now here's some nice cloth, please put on some fresh clothes. You offer new clothes to them. Krishna never wears the same clothes twice. Right? In the spiritual world, Krishna never wears the same clothes twice. Right? He puts on dhoti, right, kurta, next time he takes bath, new clothes. Krishna never puts on the same clothes again. Right? That is the culture. Like that. We're offering cloth to them. Yeah, we're offering the handkerchief. We're here, please take some fresh cloth. Then we offer the flowers. What is this for? Right? And we offer the flowers then. And we do 7 times around the whole body. Here we do 4 times to the feet. That's the system Prabhupada gave us here in Melbourne. Generally, we do 7 times around the body. It means we're offering garlands. 7 garlands. Putting on Krishna. And here, they say, because garlands make the body cool. Where is the garland? Oh, it's up there in the shelf. I like that. Bhagavatam speaker is sitting here. No, Russell, it's okay. You don't have to get it. But the point is, Bhagavatam speaker is sitting. Right? Someone has come to speak on the Bhagavatam, and what is the first thing we do? Right? First thing we do is, right, offer a garland. Oh, thank you. Better late than never. At the end of the class. Oh, the class was okay, I'll give you a garland. I know. So what's the first thing we do? Right? We offer water. Right? Would you like something to drink? Like that. You may need to have some water while you're speaking in case your throat becomes. And you offer a garland because the garland cools the body. Right? Nice fragrance. It's refreshing. Makes the mind peaceful. Cools. It makes the body cool. That's why we keep it here. Right? When it's touching the back of the neck because it is cool, then the blood which is flowing, right, to the brain, it goes past the garlands because everything is cool and makes the head cool. Prabhupada said in the spiritual life you need a cool head. Right, like that. That's why we wear the garlands. All these things are Vedic. Like that. Right. Bhagavatam speaker is sitting there, speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam, and then no garland is offered. Right. Every devotee comes and no one thinks to offer the garland. Where is the culture? Right. This is culture. Culture means the garland must be offered. So when we're offering the flowers to Krishna, right, then we are offering the garlands to Krishna. And then we offer the chamara. Right? Why do we offer the chamara? Yeah, it's also to keep insects away. The chamara is made of the tail of the yak from the Himalayas. And they take yak tail, which is considered pavitra or pure. So then we offer these things to the deity, like that, to keep the insects away, like that. And then if it's hot, then we offer the peacock fan, like that. We offer the fan to keep Krishna cool. So this is the Abhideya. Abhideya means the process. So this is what we're being taught. The guru teaches you these things. Right? Otherwise, how would you know? How do we know how to please Krishna? Abhideya means the process of reconnecting to Krishna. How do you know what gives Krishna pleasure? You need guru. Guru pad ashraya. You need to take shelter of the spiritual master. The spiritual master will teach you how to please Krishna. Right? How to offer the arti to Krishna. How to offer the bhoga to Krishna. How to wake Krishna in the morning. How to put Krishna to rest. How to dress Krishna, what he likes. There is a system, there is a process. This is taught by guru. So you learn bhakti, right? Bhakti is the abhideya, or the process of connecting to Krishna. You learn bhakti from the spiritual master. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says there are 64 items of bhakti, right? And this is learnt from the guru. And this is how you learn. This is why adol guru padashraya. This is the first item of bhakti. Is that one must take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Then one can learn how to please Krishna. This is what the Vedas are teaching. Abhideya, Sambandha, Abhideya, and then Prayojana. Krishna Sambandha, Bhakti, Abhideya, and Prema, Prayojana. Prema means love of God. Right? So what is the goal of the Bhagavatam? What is the goal of Krishna consciousness? Why are we here? Why are you here? Right? What is your purpose for being here? Is your purpose for being here so you can eat Gauranga potato and Shrikhand and carrot halwa? Is that your purpose for being here? What is your purpose? Why did you join this movement? What is your motivation? Why did you come to this movement? Why did you join the Sankirtan movement, the Hare Krishna movement? So you can eat gulab jamuns? So you can eat halwa? What is your purpose? Your purpose for joining this movement is to develop prema. Prema, pumata, mahan. This is the goal of life. It is the prayojana. Prayojana means the ultimate goal of the Vedas. It is prema. So Lord Chaitanya, in his Shikshastika, in his 8 verses, he's brought the entire philosophy of the Vedas into just 8 verses, which cover Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. So we study these 8 verses of the Shikshastika. We must study them. Actually, it says that you should recite the Shikshastika every day. It should be in some of our ISKCON temples, because every morning we sing Guru Vashtika, we sing Tulsi prayers, right? And some of our temples around the world, in Chalpati and some of the other temples, they chant Shikshastika every day. It's actually an instruction that one should chant this mantra every day, these 8 prayers. Because these 8 prayers give the entire philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Everything in the Srimad Bhagavatam is contained within those 8 prayers. So Lord Chaitanya has made it very easy in this age. He's made everything extremely easy. Now, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the Amala Purana. It is the scripture which Lord Chaitanya most liked to hear. And he based his entire teachings of his movement upon the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, Lord Chaitanya, because he only wrote 8 verses, then he instructed his disciples, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, and other disciples, right? His followers, then he instructed them to elaborate on his philosophy, which is found within the Shikshastika. So therefore they wrote the most important books in pursuance of the Vedic version. Right? Based upon the authority of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Rupa Goswami, he wrote the Bhakti Ras Amrita Sindhu, which Prabhupada has summarized as Nectar of Devotion. That is his principal work, Ujjvala Nilamani. He has other works, many works that he wrote, but this is, for us, this is the principal work. Right? And Sanatana Goswami wrote the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Right? And Rupa Goswami says that all of the books of the Goswamis, of the followers of Lord Chaitanya were based upon this book of Sanatana Goswami, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Now, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita is a very interesting scripture, right? Because after Parikshit Maharaj heard this Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days from Shukadeva Goswami, right? Because he only had a very short time to live. Right? He was cursed that he would die from the bite of the snake bird. So he heard the Srimad Bhagavatam, and then Parikshit Maharaj, he went to his mother. After the Bhagavatam was spoken, those 7 days, then his mother was there, and then she said to him, she said, summarize for me what you have heard from Shukadeva Goswami. Please tell me what you have heard from Shukadeva Goswami. Now he did not have another 7 days to speak the entire 18,000 verses. So therefore, he spoke to his mother Uttara, Parikshit. He spoke the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is a summary of the entire philosophy of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this book was given to us by Sanatana Goswami, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and all, it is the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and all of the Goswami's literatures are based upon the philosophy of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Then Jiva Goswami, who was the nephew of Rupa and Sanatan, then he was empowered and instructed by them to codify or elaborate on the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then in order to construct a very sound philosophy based on the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wrote the Sat Sandarbhas, or the six Sandarbhas, which are coming out now, which the BBT, Gopi Puranadana Prabhu and the BBT, they are translating now and comment and write and translating the commentaries now. So these will come out. They're already out. Some other devotees have also translated, but the BBT is currently beginning to translate the Sandarbhas. So this gives the entire philosophy of Lord Chaitanya. And it is based upon the Sambandha, the Abhideya, and the Prayojan. It expands the philosophy. And it is all based upon, ultimately, the ultimate authority of the it's based upon the authority of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah. No, it's right. You're right what you said. It is based upon the authority of the Bhagavatam. Because the Bhagavatam is the final authority. Lord Chaitanya has pointed out the Bhagavatam itself explains Srimad Bhagavatam, Puranam, Amalam, Yad, Vaishnavanam, Priyam. Right? It is Amala Purana. It is pure Purana. Because it perfectly describes Krishna Sambandha, the relationship with Krishna. The Bhagavatam perfectly describes Sambandha Gyan. The Bhagavatam perfectly describes Abhideya, Bhakti Abhideya, the process of how to please Krishna. And then, it describes the ultimate goal, Prema Prayojana, which is found in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. The ultimate limit of Prema Bhakti, or love for Krishna, is described in the Bhagavatam. So, when we read, just like we're reading this verse, Krishna says, now Krishna is speaking to Uddhava in the 11th canto, Krishna says, one who with long endeavor executes this painful but exalted penance, which awards ultimate liberation, simply to achieve insignificant sense gratification, must be considered the greatest fool. So this is the philosophy of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna is talking here about Vanaprastha Ashram. So Krishna is saying, if you're a Vanaprastha, and you're doing all this austerity and penance just so you can enjoy sense gratification in your next life, then Krishna says you are a fool. Right? And when God says you are a fool, what does that mean? It means you really are a fool. You are a fool. You are mudha. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, vimudha. He says you are a fool. Other people can call you a fool. That is one thing or another. Many people say you are a fool. May be right, may not be right. But if Krishna says you are a fool, that's what you are. So the Bhagavatam says that if you practice spiritual life to get sense gratification, you are a fool. The Bhagavatam says in the second verse of the Bhagavatam says it rejects Kaitava Dharma, cheating religion. This is cheating religion. You are practicing spiritual life to get sense gratification, right? Artha or karma, or even moksha, right? You're practicing spiritual life, right, to get economic development or sense gratification, or even to become merged into the Brahmajyoti, that is Kaitava, that is cheating religion. Bhagavatam immediately says, very beginning of Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam rejects this. What does Bhagavatam establish? Prema, Pumata Maha. The goal of life is love for Krishna. You need to learn to love Krishna. Just think, who do you love the most in this world? Who is the person you love? Right? Who is it that you have the most love for? Yeah, so that's the answer, then that's not the conclusion of the Bhagavatam. The conclusion of the Bhagavatam is that our love must be for Guru and Krishna. We must have the most love for Guru and Krishna. This is the system. And in Vrindavan, who is the ultimate Guru? Radharani. Right? So it means you must have the most love for Radha and Krishna, right? Or if you go to Navadvipa, to Mayapur, right? We say all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. So who is the ultimate Guru in Mayapur, in Navadvipa? Nityananda Prabhu. So it means you must have, the most love you must have must be for Gaur Nitai. The most love you must have be, must be for Radha Krishna. This is what the Bhagavatam is teaching. Everything else is rejected. So Krishna is saying here to Uddhava, if you are practicing spiritual life just so that you can develop sense gratification, then you are fool. You are vimutta. You have been given your certification by Krishna. If Krishna says you are fool, then you are fool. Okay. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we have discussed. Yeah, so first of all you should read his books, and then once you've read his books, then you can, cause if you look in the very first purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam 111, the very first purport, Prabhupada describes that there are practically unlimited books by the previous acharyas, and Prabhupada instructs us to study these books, but you must study them under the light or the guidance of Srila Prabhupada's Bhaktivedanta purports. So in other words, you need to be reading these books in collaboration with Prabhupada's books as well. That means that you can have a balanced, you know, approach to both. Like that. Because Briha Bhagavatam reader is essential. Right? And Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is essential. And the commentaries of Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, they're essential. So devotees have to read these things. Like that. But we always do it based upon Prabhupada's books. And best thing is that you choose what you read under the guidance of Guru. You don't have to be independent and just think, oh, I should read this, I should read that. And get instruction from your Guru what you should read. Yeah, my spiritual master personally gave me instructions. Right? He said you should read certain literatures by the Goswamis. Like that. He said this will assist you in your spiritual life. Yeah? But he also gave me the instruction to read all of Prabhupada's books. Yeah? So I'm trying to fulfill both instructions simultaneously. Like that. Does that answer what you mean?
Yeah, and also how, yeah, because sometimes you don't know which books are modified. I think in the past show we once mentioned that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that translation wasn't completely modified, it doesn't want his disciples to read it, something like that. He was saying that was retained by that. So I guess if you think it's just from Guru, then automatically it's under the disciples.
Yeah, well that's the point. Therefore we go under the guidance of our spiritual master. Like that. Well, because according to, you can do it after class. Okay. Yeah, it means under the guidance of the spiritual master. The spiritual master will say, then you can read that or you can read like that. Because different devotees are translating at the moment different books like that. And then amongst those who are translating, some of those devotees are saying that, you know, this translation is not as thorough in its exploration of the Sanskrit language or the Bengali language. So those who may be even more learned in Bengali or Sanskrit, they say, well, you know, this translation is there, but it is not as accurate a translation as it could be. So therefore they say, well, you know, we need a better translation like that. So then you go to your guru, because devotees are saying this amongst the translators, because there's several devotees who are translating these books at the moment, but some of them are saying that the other devotees are translating, not translating as accurately as it could be. So therefore we go to our spiritual master, we say, what should I read? Is that okay? Any other points?
One of my friend, he is from Pakistan, so he was asking that why do we do prayer in front of figures of stones? What is the significance?
In front of the Shila?
Yes.
Shalagram Shila? Guru Shila? Because, according to the Vedas, then these are not stones. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who has manifest in the form of a stone. Right? And we also worship Giri Raj. This is Shila from Govardhan Hill, who is also a manifestation of Krishna. So for those, because he's from Pakistan, means he's probably Muslim. Yeah. So in the Muslim religion, they do not worship form. If you go into the mosque, there is no deity. In Islam, they do not worship form. So it is very difficult for those who are in the Islam religion to understand this concept of worshipping God in a form. What to speak that we worship God in the form of a rock. It's very difficult for someone who's from that background to understand. So therefore we come from the Vedic tradition. From the teachings of, if you look in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya spoke to the Chankazi, who was a Muslim. And when they had their discussion, Lord Chaitanya said that the Quran, which is the scripture of the Muslims, he said, it is under the influence of the three modes of material nature. Whereas the Srimad Bhagavatam is amala, it is transcendental to the three modes of material nature. So therefore what they are, because in their scripture, it teaches about God, but not to the highest degree that you will find. So therefore, in their tradition, they do not worship idol, they do not worship form of God. So it's very difficult for them to understand. When the Mughals, when the Muslims invaded India, they smashed many of the temples and many of the deities because they do not understand. So if you have a friend who is like this, you can try to explain to him. But if he does not have Shraddha or faith in the Vedas, then better not to say. Because if he becomes offensive, one of the offences against the holy name, do not preach to those who are faithless. So if he does not understand, then don't try to, because he will commit aparad. He will say, oh, this is idolatry. This is, you are worshipping idol. No, we're not worshipping idol. We're worshipping Archavigraha, Sri Murti. This is coming from an ancient Vedic system. This is not some speculation. This system is given by God, but it is coming from the Vedas. These other religions, which are newer expressions, they're not ancient. Well, the Vedic tradition goes back millions of years. You know, Christianity and Islam are very new. They've only come in the last few thousand years. And Jesus and Muhammad, they were dealing with very uncivilized people. Therefore, they're teaching things very basic way, and they do not have such complete knowledge or understanding. So you just have to be careful how you preach. Don't say too much, because if he understands, it's good. But to really understand the deity and to really understand Shalagram, then you have to be a devotee. So first make him a devotee. Huh? give him lots of prasadam. And if you can make him devotee, then he will understand. Otherwise, it will be difficult for him. Is it okay? Any other points?
In churches also, there are no deities in church.
Yeah. Christian, in the Bible, it speaks that God has a form. But it's difficult for people to understand what that form is. So different branches of Christianity, some say God has no form, or you cannot describe the form. And then in other branches, they say God looks in a particular way. Yeah, and then some people, they're not even sure if there is a kingdom or what there is. So different branches have different things. Did you have a point? Yeah, sense gratification means sense gratification. It can, because basically the Bhagavatam is saying that if one is trying for sense gratification in the name of spiritual life, then one is a fool. If one is trying for sense gratification outside of spiritual life, one is a fool. It means the whole world is basically after sense gratification. You look at the modern world, basically the goal is sense gratification. So that is foolish, according to the Bhagavatam. Then if you come into a spiritual path, but you're still trying, your goal is still sense gratification, then that is foolish. Just like we had different gurus who came from India around about the same time as Srila Prabhupada. And one of the gurus was saying that if you have sex desire, then you simply have as much sex as you can, and then gradually your desire will disappear. So that's sense gratification in the name of spiritual life. Mm-hmm. It's not Vedic. Right? It's not taught. Where's the authority? The authority is not there. It's something that's simply some guru's misinterpretation. So that is sense gratification in the name of spiritual life. So therefore, if you're saying, it's same sense gratification, same as the materialist, but now you're coming to spiritual life and you're saying this is the goal, like that. So just like some of the philosophies, they teach to merge with God. So Prabhupada said this is the last snare of Maya. This is sense gratification. You want to be God. What does it mean to be God? God means I am the center of the universe, because that's who God is. He's the center of the universe. Now if you want to be God, that means you want to be the center of the universe, right? So to have that philosophy that I want to merge or become one with God means you want to be supreme. That's sense gratification. Everyone in the material world wants to be supreme, right? So if you want, that's in the name of spiritual life, that is sense gratification. So it comes in different forms, but ultimately it means that people, they're desiring sense gratification in the name of spiritual life. So Krishna says, if that's what you want, you are a fool. Like that. Does that make sense? Any other question or comment? Okay, Srila Prabhupada, King.